Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS. Well, while Democrats say that the State House Redistricting and Elections Committee vote today for the bills prohibiting public employers from working with PACs to collect contributions is an attack on unions, the National Federation of Independent Business Michigan disagrees, and State Director Charlie Owens joins me now to tell me why. Welcome to the program, Charlie.
Good to be here.
Now, in terms of your position and the Federation's position, why is it that you oppose public employees from working with PACs to collect contributions?
Well, we have a different situation with public employee unions than we do with private sector unions, such as United Auto Workers and General Motors, or AFSCME and a private business, because In the private sector, there is a built-in adversary relationship between management and labor as regards the stewardship of stockholders' money or owners' money. You don't have that dynamic in the public sector because it's taxpayer money. And the problem is that this is a situation where the employees are in the position of electing their bosses. And when you try to collectively bargain for wages, salaries, and benefits, and both sides are on the same side of the table, the loser is the taxpayer. Let me explain what I mean. It's not uncommon in many school districts for the school board to be comprised of people that the Michigan Education Association has spent money on to get elected to that school board. Then those school board members who were elected by the Michigan Education Association with their support from money that they took from teachers that the school district was required to payroll deduct, then they sit at the bargaining table and bargain with the teachers' union, and they're supposed to be doing it on behalf of the taxpayers, but I think you see the problem. You've got a bunch of people that got there because of support from the labor union who are now negotiating with the labor union over wages and benefits for the labor union. Well, that's not going to end up being good stewardship of taxpayer dollars. And in fact, if you look at the budgets for schools in the state and the cities, it's been proven that it has not been.
Although at this point, I mean, those types of issues almost become secondary considering the budgetary situations communities are facing. I mean, there are hardly any ways to negotiate or find favoritism out of the conditions they're now facing. Is that not the case?
Well, we got into those conditions because of the circumstances. So to the extent that you don't address that, yes, you're going to continue to have problems, because what happens at the bargaining table is people decide that, well, the answer to our problem isn't to cut the spending on public employee wages and benefits. The answer is to seek more tax revenue from the very taxpayers who have frankly been poorly served by this process in the first place. And so you end up in this vicious cycle. And the result is what we have in many cities who are now facing the prospect of an emergency financial manager, because this kind of a cycle has driven taxpayers out of their area, and they have no more tax base. Yet they have not addressed the underlying costs that have pushed this problem. So they're ending up with expenses exceeding revenue. They're ending up with totally unsustainable pension and benefits that go out many, many decades. And they are in tough shape. And we're going to continue to see that if we don't try to address the situation of this collusive arrangement between labor and frankly, labor. It's not even, you'd say labor and management, but management is labor in many of these circumstances. So what we're saying is one of the ways to address this is not to get public government, school districts, public employers out of the business of using taxpayer facilities such as payroll and everything else to deduct this money on behalf of the union and send it to them. The unions want union dues, they can go get them themselves. They can have the employees write them a check after they're paid and not have it payroll deducted.
Although, isn't the issue overblown in a sense that it's a fairly insignificant procedure once it's set into place? They simply make a quick electronic deduction of a sort, and it doesn't really take up a lot of time or money for a school district to do this kind of a thing. And teachers who are in the union probably generally support their contribution, do they not?
Well, I think that if that were the case, I don't know why they'd be so nervous about having to ask their workers for a check instead of just taking out of their paycheck before they see their money. If they are doing such a great job for them, if they're so loved by the employees, then I don't know why they're worried about it. But I think that once you have a situation where a worker has to write this check, they may begin questioning what this money is going for, and I think that's something the unions don't really want to answer for.
I'm talking to Charlie Owens, the state director of the National Federation of Independent Business Michigan. Charlie, I do want to ask you about what we're about to see here in Michigan. I know this major tax cut on businesses is going to go into effect. Do you expect to see some immediate reaction from businesses already in Michigan to this upcoming change?
Well, I think it's going to sink in slowly, just like any tax change. As you pointed out, they're going to continue to pay the Michigan business tax, through that cycle, and then the new tax will kick in. So we're going to see some impacts of that, but it's not going to be like someone flipped a switch. It's going to take a little bit to phase in. It might take a year, year and a half. I think it will have a positive impact. There are other factors that are also of concern out there, but this certainly will be helpful.
Do you expect to see some significant new hiring by businesses in Michigan in the next year, or is this tax cut simply going to help many of them just survive?
Well, I think it's going to be a little of both. I think you have to be cautious looking for a cause and effect where you say, okay, well, we cut taxes, we should see some job growth immediately. Well, in some cases, as you pointed out, you may not see job growth, but then you may not see layoffs either. I think a lot of businesses might be able to just, maintain without cutting their workforce back, which is certainly better than having job losses. The biggest challenge when we do our economic surveys of our membership, the biggest challenge out there is a lack of customers. And we can directly relate that to a lot of the uncertainty that's out there in Michigan and on the national stage. I will say that Michigan is doing a much better job than we're seeing nationally. Michigan has balanced its budget. I think that the uncertainty factor, if you will, in Michigan has been alleviated to a great extent. But at the same time, business owners are very concerned about what's going to happen with the National Health Insurance proposal, which is being litigated, and they're uncertain what that's going to cost them. They're seeing an administration that is passing rules and regulations on them and how they deal with organized labor, shortening up the periods for labor elections, telling them they must post posters, a lot of regulation coming down from Washington, and that's not very helpful right now.
One more thing. Cutting the personal property tax on businesses has been up for discussion, although it won't be addressed this year. How important is this, and are you concerned, as many municipalities are, that it could have a direct effect on their own situations if it's not replaced somehow?
Well, I think that's going to be an interesting debate. I understand their concern because personal property tax is primarily a local tax, more so than the Michigan business tax switching over to the corporate income tax was. But again, it's going to require that a lot of municipalities and localities start to take a look at how they're handling and balancing their own budgets. The subject of the labor unions that we talked about, where you have labor representatives on both sides of the table bargaining. Certainly, if personal property tax revenue could be diminished in the process, then they're going to need to be more careful about what kinds of arrangements they make for pay and benefits for employees, just like any business. I do think from what we have heard, there's going to be some attempt to take revenues that were dedicated to targeted tax incentives under the Michigan business tax, which are now going to go away. Some numbers have been thrown out that there's a half a billion dollars there. that could be used to offset any cuts in personal property tax. So I think there's some sensitivity in Lansing on the part of how this can be accomplished without pulling the rug out from under local governments.
I can't help but wonder, though, you're saying that the demand and customers are a big factor. I mean, do you think enough is being done on that end of the equation to make sure that Michigan citizens and residents are able to get back on their feet when they're not and become active consumers?
I think the key is job growth, and I think that you've heard that from every level of government. The difference is that I think in Michigan, when we've talked about the importance of job growth, I think there's been some very substantive steps in that direction to try and create that environment where there's job growth. Unfortunately, I really don't see that at the White House level, the national level.
Charlie Owens, State Director of the National Federation of Independent Business, Michigan. Thank you for joining me, Charlie.
My pleasure.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.